That song is really based out of Revelation chapter number 5, and we will bow down at his feet, amen, and we will stay holy, looking forward to that day, but praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 2 is where we're at tonight, and so we'll look at this together, and we're going to talk about the strange woman tonight. It's mentioned in chapter number 2. My wife wrote this poem years ago. I thought I'd read it tonight. It's called The Wilted Rose. She had her well-worn Bible, and she had also brought a vase. Her class surveyed the roses, curiosity on each face. Their beauty was exquisite, and their fragrance filled the air. There was a rose for every girl, and even one to spare. The teacher passed a rose around, its softness felt by all. The rose came back quite wilted, and did not stand so tall. Then the teacher passed the vase, and watched them as they chose. Each one of them had picked a flower, and left the wilted rose. With gravity she warned them, "You will reap what you sow. For when a man picks a wife, he passes up the wilted rose." My wife wrote that years ago, and it's so true. And I want to talk about this strange woman tonight. There's more mentioned in the book of Proverbs as far as one particular warning about the strange woman than there is about any other warning. He talks about liquor. He talks about diligence. He talks about being lazy. Talks about finances and money. But the one thing it's interesting, in chapters 1 through 9, I think one-third of the verses alone have to deal with the strange woman. And of course, that's chapter number 7, chapter number 5 in its entirety, this last part of chapter number 2, and then the last part of chapter number 6. So there's a lot mentioned in the book of Proverbs about the strange woman. Now, I want to say this, and I'll pray and get started. But I want to tell you something. The strange woman is not specific when it just comes to being just women. It can be a man also. And the things that a strange woman does, same thing a strange man can do. And the word strange does not mean weird. All right. The word strange means foreign. Actually, it's somebody, a non-related person. And so God specifically talks about that. And I think the book of Proverbs goes a step farther. For years, I used to say a strange woman is anybody that's not your wife, and I believe that. But I think we could go a step further using the warnings of the book of Proverbs. A strange woman is anybody that's not your wife with the intent to do wrong. And this is particularly, this particular woman as mentioned in chapter number 2. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Are you all okay tonight? Say amen. Amen. Would you bow and let's ask the Lord's help tonight. Father, thank you for the Bible. Lord, please open our eyes of understanding now. Teach us, help us, Father, to take these truths, Father, and apply. And Father, may we take the warnings and beware. And Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the promises of it. Father, give us wisdom now beyond our years tonight. Bless your people. Strengthen them. Lord, may we be focused tonight on you. In Jesus' name, amen. The word strange woman is mentioned 9 times in Scripture. 8 of those 9 are mentioned in the book of Proverbs. Much to be said about this particular thought. Now, I need to review just a little bit, chapter number 2, if you don't mind, to catch us back up to pace. In chapter number 2, if you look at your Bible now, many of these things you've already got written down, and I'll not belabor them or spend long on them. But in chapter number 2, verses 1 through 5, they go together. The word if is mentioned in verses 1, 2, and 3, and 4. And then in verse number 5, the first word in verse 5 is the word then. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So verses 1 through 5 tell us how to know and fear God. Verses 6, 7, 8, 9 go together also. Verse 6, 7, and 8 tell us, of course, the then in verse 9. First word in verse 9 is, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, every good path. And the idea is how to know how to judge right and fair. And we know how to do that by doing verse 6, 7, and 8. Verses 10 through 22 go together. We talked about the first half of those verses 2 weeks ago, and we're going to look at the last half of these verses this week. And verses 10 through 22, obviously 10 through 17 we mentioned, there's no period. It's all one paragraph, verses 10 through 17. Now I want you to look at verse 10 and 11. This is what we're going to jump off of tonight. Verse 10 says this, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." Now, church family, let's just start off right where we left off last or 2 weeks ago. Wisdom is a safeguard now, by the way, young person can be a safeguard to every person. Wisdom is a safeguard in two particular areas, all right? First phrase, verse number 12, to deliver thee from what? The way of the evil man. Verse number 16, to deliver thee from what? The strange woman. Look at that again, verse number 12. This is a safeguard, wisdom is, to deliver thee from the way of the who? Evil man, verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman. Now, I want you to look back now in verse number 10 and 11, just as a reminder before as we get running tonight. Verse 10 says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, Discretion shall preserve thee. The word preserve means to hedge about or protect. We remember last 2 weeks ago, we put chairs up here. If you remember correctly, we put four chairs, and I think it was Seth. We put Seth in the middle of this, and Isaac was trying to get in, but he was hedged about, all right? It says there in verse number 11, discretion shall preserve thee. And then it says, understanding shall keep thee. The word keep means protect, guard, but also the idea of a watcher, having a guard on duty. All right, it's what the Bible's teaching. Now, church family, I want you to think for just a few moments tonight about, I want to back up and hit this one verse again, verse number 10. It says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Now, church family, think for just a second here. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Church family, when the door is opened, it allows people to enter. Does that make sense? In other words, if I want somebody to come in, I must open the door. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. I want to tell you something. We're raising a generation that, number one, they're not opening the door for the Word of God to get into their heart and soul. We're raising a generation that the Word of God is not pleasant unto their soul. Now, church family, this is a matter of life and death. If we don't get our children getting an appetite for the Word of God, they are setting themselves up for destruction, because there's two types of people coming after them. What's the first group? Evil man. What's the second group? Now, I want to tell you something. Wisdom is the deliverer. Wisdom is the one that's keeping that young person from being destroyed by either the evil man or the strange woman. Church family, we are influenced by people. There's no other way around it. We're influenced by people. And I want to tell you, it only takes the right person and the right opportunity for a young person to mess up. And church family, I'm not just talking about morality tonight. I'm talking about messing their life up by going a wrong direction. That's why it's so important who their friends are and who they're having contact with. When we're putting our children in front of a television or a video on a constant basis, and we're allowing Hollywood be their best friend, I just want you to understand we're allowing an inlet into their life of the evil man or the strange woman. Now, tonight, can I just again stop and say again right off the bat of this, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, it's not the idea of wisdom forcing herself in. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, it's the idea of you opening. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, somebody has to open the door, and that's you. And I want to tell you how you do that. You come to church on a Wednesday night. I want to tell you how you do that. You get up this morning and you read your Bible. I want to tell you how you do that. You might not have the quickest mind. You might not have the best memory, but you keep struggling. Keep trying to go forward in scripture memorization. In other words, it's pleasant. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, that thou mightest keep them. And the Bible says that for they shall be pleasant unto thy soul. There has to be a desire for it. There has to be a hunger for it. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. I don't care if you're young or old. You need to have a desire for the Word of God. And I want to tell you why. It's your safety net. It's your protection. It's what's going to keep you from the evil man. It's what's going to keep you from the strange woman. It's the hedging about. It's the man standing guard. It's what's going to give you discretion and understanding. Look over to chapter 7 with me for just a moment. In chapter 7, look at verse number 7. In chapter 7, we all know this as the passage about the strange woman. I want you to look at the description, just this one verse, but look at the description of the young man here. In chapter 7, verse number 7, it says, and beheld among the simple ones, description of this young man, and beheld among the simple one, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Three descriptions are mentioned about the young man that went to the strange woman in chapter 7. What's the first description? He's simple. What's the second description? I'm sorry? Did you say young? Okay, good. You did a good job, because that's it. All right, it's young. What's the third description? Okay, now wait a second. I find that interesting, because the word void means to be without. He's without what? Okay, go back to chapter number 2 now. Look at your Bible again in chapter number 2. Look at verse number 11. If a person gets wisdom in verse number 11, discretion shall preserve thee. What's going to keep you? So the guy who goes to the strange woman, what's he without? A person who accepts wisdom, what is he with? Understanding, the safeguard, the protection that keeps you from throwing your life away, that keeps you from having chastening from the Lord, what keeps you from having zero regrets in your life. I just want you to understand that what it is, it's a matter of having understanding. And I want to tell you where that understanding comes from. It comes from that book you hold in your hand right there. Look at chapter 2, verse number 6. For the Lord giveth what? Wisdom. So the Lord says, if the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. I want to tell you something. If you don't get to the place where you love the Word of God, desire the Word of God, pleasant to the Word of God, I want to tell you, if every time you sit down with your Bible, it's a chore and somebody has to stand over you with a ball bat to say, read your Bible, I just want you to understand you are without protection. And I just want you to understand the devil's after you. And I don't care if you're raised in a Christian home, you're not safe because you got a mom and dad at the door. You're safe because you got a book in your heart. And that's why it's so important for you to get to a place. You say, Pastor, I just don't have that desire. Then I want to tell you something. Start, get yourself on a schedule of discipline. And I want to tell you something. The desire will come. Right. You know, I want to tell you something. Our appetites, most of our appetites, are developed because we develop them. And to be honest with you, to a degree, our parents develop them. Now, there's some of you in here, you have a liking to certain things. You talk to a Southerner and they like grits. I don't like grits. I don't eat rice for breakfast. And clumps of rice. How many grit people do we have in here now that I've downgraded it? There's a few people that like grits in here. Wow. Now, if I was going to have it, I'd smother it with butter and maybe some sugar. Then I think I can handle it. Hey, you know, a lot of our tastes have been developed because of what our parents fed us or maybe what section of the country we were raised in. Now, I want to tell you something. What you've got to do is you've got to develop that appetite. And I want to tell you right at the beginning, it might be like pulling teeth for you get to read the Word of God. But the more you read it, guess what's going to happen? The more you're going to want it. Now, quickly, I've got to go through this tonight. The safeguard here, wisdom is your protection from the strange woman. Now, again, from last week, again, we're just catching everybody up tonight. But verse number 11 says, the discretion shall preserve. The word preserve means to guard, to hedge about. And then, of course, it says in verse number 11 also, understanding shall keep thee. And the way you get discretion and understanding is from verse number 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. So the more you take in, God says, okay, I'm going to give you discretion and understanding. What's that discretion and understanding going to do for you? Verse number 12. Read the first one, two, three, first four words together. Ready? To deliver thee from. What's discretion and understanding going to do for you? Read the first four words of verse 16 together. To deliver thee from. All right. That's your family. 2 + 2 = Okay. Some of you don't know math, but you can read your Bible. Amen. Well, I'm glad. Hey, what I'm trying to say is how many would say, Pastor, this is very elementary tonight. The Word of God is very, very clear. The safeguard for me to life to deliver me from the evil man and the strange woman is very clear. I've got to get wisdom. Can you all see that tonight? All right, that's a pretty easy understanding. I think it's pretty elementary. Now, I want you to look at tonight, and we already talked about the evil man last week, verses 12 through 15. I want to look at verse 16 through 22, and specifically verse 16 and 17 tonight. Verse 16 says this, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger. Now, you're going to underline, if you haven't already, underline these three words here. I'm going to show you which three. There are three words that begin with the word F. All right, here's what it says. To deliver thee from the stranger, which, what's the first one? Flattereth with her words, which, what's the next one? Forsaketh the guide of her youth, and what's the third one? Forgetteth the covenant of her God. All right, so we have three words, beginning with the letter F, that God says are aspects of the strange woman. In other words, these are things that a strange woman, a person that is a foreigner, a non-relation, in fact, the Strong's Concordance actually used the word adulteress, this kind of woman who has an evil intent. Now, Church family, I want to tell you something. In our mind, we do not see this as a real thing. But I want to tell you something. If you've been around long enough, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. My first job was at Burger King, and when I went to, I was 11th, I think it was at the end of my 11th grade year at Burger King, and I had not been around that kind of thing. Mom and Dad didn't even really warn about those kind of things, but I'll never forget working late at night. The manager sent me into the men's bathroom, they wanted to clean the bathroom, and so the manager sent me in there to clean, and one of the female workers came walking in right behind me, and she was there for a reason. And it's the first time I had ever faced like that. I said, you're in the wrong place. You need to leave. But that's the kind of forcefulness of the strange woman. There's an evil intent in their heart and mind. Now, I was preaching just a couple weeks ago or a few weeks ago at the Purity Banquet, and I dealt with several things. And I think some of those things are bear repeating tonight. And I just want to do it with the church family tonight. And I want our young people to understand that God did not make the intimacy between a man and a woman as something dirty. And those feelings that a person has for the opposite gender as we get older is not a bad thing. God created that. And we have a tendency not to talk about them, and I think that shouldn't be talked. There's several things you can't talk about in a mixed crowd. But I want to tell you something. When you get to be 12, 13, and 14 years old, you need to communicate with your mom and dad. And I want to tell you something. If you communicate with the people that are your age, you're going to get yourself in trouble because you're going to get bad understanding, not good understanding. And your parents are out for your best interest. And I just want you to understand the feelings that you have and the emotions that you have and desires that you have are not a dirty thing. God wants those things to be kept in marriage. And so what happens is the book of Proverbs is very explicit. When you get to chapter number 5, it's pretty explicit. When you get to chapter number 7, it's pretty explicit. And God says, hey, listen, this is not a bad thing unless you do it at the wrong time. In other words, the relationship of a husband and wife, God wants you to have that. Now, what I'm trying to get you to think about tonight is the strange woman is trying to give bad understanding and trying to give that understanding at the wrong time. She has an evil intent in her heart for what she's trying to get. Now, three things are the aspects of this strange woman. Here's the first one. Three times in the book of Proverbs, this word flattereth is used with the strange woman. In chapter number 2 and verse number 16 is the first one. In verse number 16, this aspect of her, it says, the strange woman, it says that she flattereth with her words. Alrighty. Now again, it's mentioned three times in the book of Proverbs. Chapter number 6, verse 24 says, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. If you flip over to chapter 7, there's another one. Look at chapter 7, verse number 5 with me. That they may keep thee, chapter 7, verse 5, but that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger, which, what's the word? Flattereth with her words. All right. Now, the word flattereth means to be smooth. I often refer to it as insincere praise. In other words, she's saying things because she has an ulterior motive for what she wants. The best example of that is Samson and Delilah. In Judges 15:16, Samson and Delilah, it says, and it came to pass when she, Delilah, and she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Just tell me when you look in chapter number 7, go ahead, we'll probably, Lord permitting, we'll teach on this maybe down the road, but to look at chapter 7 for just a second. In chapter 7, look down in verse number 13, so she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, now there was impudent means no shame. She said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day, have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I found thee. That's a lie. She didn't come forth to meet him, she did not come forth to meet him. The Bible says he was out passing through the street in her corner. Again, this insincere praise, this flattery. And again, she says more things in chapter 7, but this thing about flattery. Hey, I want to tell you something. We need to be careful about what we say. And I'm talking specifically young people, but obviously if you're married too, we need to be careful specifically about what we say to one another. All righty? Hey, I want to tell you something, boys and girls, young people, I should say, you have no business talking about your bedroom with another fella if you're a young lady. Your bedroom's off limits. A fella does not need to be imagining what's in your room or what's there, that should be left alone. Fellas, you need to be careful about what you compliment about a young lady. You shouldn't be complimenting her body. Listen, we need to be careful. This thing of flattery, hey, you know, there's two things that draw the heart of people. All right, the scripture's pretty clear on this. Two things that draw the heart on people. Number one is communication. The second one is touch. All right, just if you, as far as drawing the heart of a person, communication is one and touch is the other. Touch seems to expedite it a lot quicker, but communication and touch is what draws the heart of people. I want to tell you something. Are you all with me tonight? Say amen. I want to tell you something. We are getting ourselves in a heap of trouble today because of technology. Technology has opened up a door of communication that we never had before. There was no cell phones when I was growing up. If there were, I don't think there were anymore when we were growing up. But when I was a teenager, I wanted to call my girlfriend. Thought I had a girlfriend. So what I did is I took one of those phones. You know, it's one of those phones that had a cord that goes to the little thing, and it had buttons on it, and you had to have, and then that phone had a cord that went and plugged into the wall. Our kids don't know anything about that. You pick up a phone, and you don't have to be anywhere and everywhere. It wasn't like that when we were growing up. And I took one of the phones from upstairs, because I lived downstairs, and I wanted to talk to, I don't remember who it was, I wanted to talk to the girlfriend at that time. I don't know which one it was or who it was, but anyway. So I grabbed the phone, and I went downstairs, because there was a phone jack downstairs, and I took the phone and plugged it in, and real quietly, and dun, 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 dun. Hey, how's it going? And I began to have a conversation. When I got about 60 seconds into that conversation, And my dad picked up the phone upstairs to make a phone call, and I was on it. I quickly hung up the phone. And then my dad, he's kind of heavy set, and you can kind of, you know, it sounded like the Jolly Green Giant. You can hear him upstairs walking to the top of the stairs. And I mean, I can hear it. I mean, it's like okay, death is coming. And so he'd come to the top of the stairs, and at the top of the stairs, he'd say, "Scott, get up here!" But a little bit louder than that. And I knew that we were not coming up for a party. Oh man, I thought it was the worst thing that could ever happen in my life for my dad to catch me on that phone. Church, I'm going to tell you something. Our young people have more avenues of communication than ever before. I mean, you have a hard time now catching a young person. And by the way, my phone call was not a bad phone call. I just wanted to talk to her. I mean, there was nothing bad going on, but my dad didn't let us just call girls. We just didn't do that. Dad didn't do that. You saw them enough. I've got kids in the college right now. They're falling apart because they can't see them 7 days a week. They see each other 7 days a week. But, you know, they miss 1 hour of the seventh day, and they think it's the worst thing that's ever happened to them in their life. I mean, they just fall apart. And I just look at them, and inside I laugh, but outside I'm angry. But that's ridiculous. You know, these kids that go into college now, when we were in college, there still were no cell phones. There were 4 phone calls on the dorm floor, and you had 10 minutes a week you could call your parents. These guys call their parents, and I'm glad for it, but they call their parents, I'm sure, several times a day. And they call a bunch of other people 7 times a day. And if they were without their smartphone or cell phone, I think that they would go into convulsions. You know why? Because we're living in such a day of technology, of this thing of communication. I want to tell you something. One thing that's ruining our churches is social media. And we can defend it all we want, and Facebook and Twitter and MySpace and all the other things that are out there. But church, I'm going to tell you something. They're getting us in trouble, and they're causing a lot more problems than they're worth. And they've turned into gossip columns. That's what they are. They turned into gossip columns. Church family, I do not have to tell you what I'm eating for supper. My supper will digest just fine without you knowing what I ate tonight. This is ridiculous. I mean, you talk about just the ridiculousness of it. And I want to tell you something. When you should see on a Sunday morning, if I mention Facebook, you should see the faces of certain people in here. When I start to talk about Facebook, it's like, hey, don't talk about my God. Leave it alone. Just because you don't have it, it's okay. Hey, church, I want to tell you something. I think television can be used for good or bad, but I want to tell you the majority of it's used for bad. I think a radio can be used for good or for bad, but I would say the majority of it's being used for bad. And I would tell you that social media can be good or bad, but the majority of it's being used for bad. So a person doesn't have to have a heart attack when I talk about Facebook. I'm just saying that the day that we're having, that we're living in today, I'm telling you, we are destroying one another because there's too much communication. I want to tell you something. If we just spent half the communication we spent on the phone and on Facebook and went out soul winning, we'd see scores of people saved. Because we're spending all this time talking to people. I want to tell you something. We got young people today, they think, well, if I can't text her at least once a day. Well, what did you do when there were no cell phones?
Amen.
I want to tell you something. When there were no more cell phones, families were a lot closer because they talked to one another. They didn't have their nose on a smartphone or a tablet or an iPad while they're trying to eat their meal together. They talk to one another. Now, all that, I don't want to chase any more rabbit here, but I just want to say this, that the flattery, the Bible is very clear on this, it's one of the aspects of the strange woman is it's an insincere praise because of an ulterior motive. Now, we need to be careful about what we say to one another. Look at the second thing here. Not only the word flattereth, but the word forsaketh the guide of her youth. Church family, turn over to Jeremiah chapter 3 with me real quickly here. We'll come back there to Proverbs 2. Jeremiah chapter number 3. The guide of our youth is only mentioned twice in Scripture. And this is the other one. Jeremiah 3 verse number 4. Jeremiah 3 verse number 4 says this. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, Jeremiah 3 verse number 4, my father, thou art the guide of my youth. Who's the guide of her youth? Say it one more time. All right, so, now church family, I think parent, you could use the word parent here, but the Bible specifically uses father. So think about it for a second here. She flattereth with her mouth. She forsaketh the guide of her youth. Who is she specifically forsaking? Her father. Now, I want to tell you something, fellas. I want to tell you something. You better wake up and smell the roses. I wouldn't date a girl that doesn't have a good relationship with her father. I wouldn't like a girl that doesn't have a good relationship with her father. I wouldn't think about a girl that doesn't have a good relationship with her father. Because I want to tell you something. However she treats her father is exactly how she's going to treat you. And don't be so naive to think that you're so wonderful and her dad is so bad. Because I want to tell you something, Mr. Wonderful. You're going to turn out to be just like her dad. Because you know why? Her dad's her authority in her life. And when you get married to her, you're the authority in her life. And if she doesn't like the authority of her dad, she's not going to like the authority of you. That's good preaching, Pastor. I'm really glad you told me that. Hey, she forsaketh the guide of her youth. It's important for a young lady to have a good relationship with her father. Now, I want to tell you something. If you have a poor... Now, I'm not calling you a strange woman tonight if you have a poor relationship with your father. But I will say this. The Bible says, honor thy father and mother. Now, I want to tell you, if you don't have a good relationship... And what I mean by good relationship, I mean you can talk to them. I mean you can get counsel from them. I mean you can get advice from them. I mean that you can do things for them. I'm not talking about necessarily in a bad sense. I'm talking about in a good sense. I'm talking about you ought to be able to honor and respect and love your father.
Amen.
Now, like, hey, fellas, you would be wise. Now, I'm going to make this statement because many of you aren't listening. You're listening with your ears but not with your heart. But I want to tell you, you would be wise to find a young woman that, number one, you like. In other words, you know, I just want to say this too. I'm going to throw it out because I'm going to say it. I want to tell you, this day that we're living in, you know, as long as she's got character, marry her. Well, you know, that sounds good. But what are you going to, you got to look at that thing the rest of their life. All right, y'all with me? So, you know, there's some of them out there, you know, got the wart on their nose and Raggedy Ann hair. But boy, they got character. Good. Well, they don't go together. But anyway, I just want you to understand that God will cause you to be attracted to somebody. But there's the person you're attracted to, you better make sure they have a good relationship with their dad. Because I want to tell you something. How they treat their dad is going to be exactly how they treat you. All right, so again, this thing of forsaking the guide of her youth means she doesn't listen to her dad. All right? Listen to the authority in their life. Hey, let me quickly say this, all right? We're living in a day of very much split homes. 42% of church people who go to church come from split homes. 42%, all right? I'm sorry. 42% come from divorced homes. Did I say split? Divorced homes is what I meant, all right? So in other words, they still have mom and dad, but this divorced home. We're living in an unusual day, and it seems like it's continually declining, okay? Now, I just want you to understand, no matter what kind of home you come in, you're not an accident. God's got you exactly where he wants you to be. But I want to tell you something. Your relationship with authority is important. Now, again, I'm taking the application of this. The interpretation of this is forsaking the guide of her youth. It was her father, according to Jeremiah 3, verse 4. Her father is the guide of her youth. But I want to tell you something. If you don't have a father at home, what's your relationship to authority? Fellas, if she does not have a good relationship with authority, throw her out the window. It's not a Bible verse, but anyway, all right? What I say is I would not go that route, all right? If she didn't have a good relationship with authority, then you're gonna have problems the rest of your life, okay? All right, so she forsaketh the God of youth. Here's the last one. The last one is the word forgetteth. It says, forgetteth the covenant of her God. Now, I think that's talking about Scripture. The word covenant there can mean also, the word covenant means compact, confederacy, covenant. I think it can be salvation or it can be the word of God. And what I mean by that is when I got saved, I've been bought with a price. I belong to God, all right? She forgetteth the covenant of her God. She forgot what she got saved from. She forgot the word of God, what God's direction in her life is for. Now, I keep referring to the girl here, but your family, I had one person, in fact, this is actually Mrs. Smith, years and years ago, asked me, Pastor, how come wisdom is referred to as a female? And I was thinking about that this afternoon a little bit, that same, because that was years ago she asked about that. But if you've ever thought about it, chapter 9, a foolish woman is clamor, she is simple and knoweth nothing. In the very same chapter, chapter 9, wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars, she hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine. You know, I think what God's trying to teach us here is you're going to have to make a choice between two women. And usually a woman is that idea of affection or love or where you're going to put your desire at. And I want to tell you something. There's two people vying for your attention. And it is wisdom or it's the strange woman. And you have to choose which one you're going to give your attention or your desire to. And it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. You've got to choose. It's either flesh or spirit. You know, it's either what you want or what God wants. All right? So this description of the strange woman is simply this. God says, number one, she flatters. Flatters with her mouth. She said, number two, she forsaketh the guide of her youth. In other words, she doesn't have a good relationship with parental authority. She forgetteth the covenant of her God. She doesn't stick to that book right there. She's not having a regular diet of the Word of God. She forgetteth the covenant of her God. Now, church family, you've stayed with me thus far. Let me give you this last thing and we're done tonight. Look back at your Bible now. I want you to look at the result of the strange woman, verse 18 through 22. Here's what it says. For her house inclineth unto, what's the word? And her pass unto the dead. None that go unto her return again. Neither take they hold of what? All right, now I circled in my Bible the word death in verse 18 and the word pass of life in verse number 19. Now, God says specifically the person who goes to the strange woman is going to experience death, it's either going to be physical or spiritual, and they're also going to experience missing the path of life. That's kind of interesting to me. Missing the path of life. And then God describes what the path of life is in the next verse. Here's what he says in verse number 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. So the path of life is the way of good men and the paths of the righteous. And then verse 21 and 22 is kind of a coin upright as well as wicked, depending on which direction you go. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. All right, now, church family, this is in reference, when it talks about missing the path of life, this is in reference to a person who goes to the strange woman and continues that kind of lifestyle. All right, now, I don't want you to miss this, and I'll try to close here. Now, let me explain it this way. Look over to chapter 7 for just a moment. All right, chapter 7. Look at verse 26, talking about the strange woman. Verse 26, chapter 7, verse 26. For she, the strange woman, hath cast down many, what's the word? Wounded, yea, many strong men have been what? All right, now, just hear me. There's a difference between being wounded and being slain, all right? She hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. A wounded person is a person who goes to the strange woman, he gets things right with God, she gets things right with God, and they go forward. They have scars, but they're just wounded. A person who is slain is a person who doesn't care what the Bible says. They're going to continue to live an immoral life. They're going to live their life the way they want to. God calls them dead. All right? So when you look at chapter number 2, now with that said, go back to chapter 2 for a second here. In chapter number 2, it says in verse 21, for the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. So what it's trying to say here is this, is that a person who goes to the strange woman, in other words, lives in an immoral life, does what they want when it comes to the flesh, then what the Bible says, that kind of person, none that go unto her return again. In other words, a person who goes that direction and stays that direction, none that go unto her return again. The Bible says there's spiritual death, sometimes physical, but spiritual death, and there's missing the path of life. Hey, I want to tell you something, watch me now. A person that doesn't go that route, and a person who can that may be wounded but comes back from that route, you know what God says? God says that they're going to be in the way of good men. Church, I want to tell you something. A person who's living in adultery, a person who's living an adulterous or fornicating life, I just want to tell you, they're not in the midst of good men. So what God's trying to teach us here, he says, listen, you get to choose. You can choose life or death. Or you can choose the path of life or the path of death. And the way you choose it is make sure you deliver yourself from the way of the evil man, deliver yourself from the strange woman. Now, I go back to verse number 10 and 11. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Church family, young people, chapter 1, verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and understanding. The entire book of Proverbs is written for a young person. And you know why God wrote it for you? So that you can have the paths of life. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to make sure you don't get the paths of life. He wants you to have the paths of death. And so you know what's happening? You have a choice. You have a choice to let wisdom in and to read the Word of God and listen to the preaching and listen to mom and dad and take in the Word of God so that you have centurions all around you. It's called discretion and understanding. That when those kind of temptations come up, you say, no. Or you just live your life fancy-free. Don't do anything to try to draw on the Word of God. There's no protection around you. And the evil man, like an evil beast, is trying to destroy your life and you don't even know it. The strange woman who comes with that flattery and no rules and trying to get privacy between the two. You understand? There's no deliverance. And what seems to be very harmless is life-threatening. Now, I want to tell you, young person, you can either have good understanding or bad understanding. You can either learn by experience or you can learn by obedience. But I want to tell you something. Experience has a lot harder lessons than obedience. And obedience has a whole lot more rewards than experience. I want to tell you, you better not miss out. It's real. It's real. Hey, church family, I'm not bragging here. I'm just making for point of illustration. I've never smoked a cigarette. Amen. I've never drank 1 ounce of alcohol. Amen. I've never done drugs. Amen. Rock music had no appetite. Music's not a real problem for me at all. But I want to tell you something. There's one thing that the devil really tried. It's strange woman. These young people are raised in Christian homes. Not all of you. Most of you won't have a problem with cigarettes or drugs or even music. I'll tell you what you're going to have a problem with. You're going to have a problem with the prowler called the strange woman. I promise you. Hey, a third of the chapters in chapters 1 through 9 is your warning. I want to tell you something. You better put the book of Proverbs inside of you like you never have before. You better read it. You better study it. Because I want to tell you something. You're going to have a life of regret just in these few short years. The devil's got you. He's trying to break you and to destroy your life. Some of you young people in here, the most pivotal years of your life are between 13 and 20. And that's only 7 years. If you live the most average life of 60, 70 years, you want those other 50 or 60 to be happy, you better make sure you get a lot of protection right now. And it's not that you just grow out of it or that you don't have those things, the attacks of Satan. But I want to tell you something. If there's ever a time that's attacked on Satan, it's right now. You know, if I had an army and I was trying to take out the army, I wouldn't go after the old people. I'd go after the young people. Because if I take the young people out, there'll be no army in the future. And Satan knows the same thing. Hey, if you, church family, you that are older know, but you young people, when you get a chance to go to other churches, look for one thing. Look for young people. Because I want to tell you something. The average church today is full of old people. You know why? Because Satan took out the young people. When you take out the young people, you eventually have no church. I want to tell you something. You're fighting a battle right now, and you don't even know it. And it's with Satan himself. Because if he can kill you now, you'll be no use later. Evil man, strange woman. Your safeguard is what? Talk to me now. Your safeguard is what? Wisdom. Where are you going to get that wisdom from? The Word of God. Mom and Dad. You better listen. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight?